This is Bob Whitaker. The name of this program is The Untrained Eye. When the United States first sent a satellite around the Earth and made pictures, that was in the 1960s, the ambassador to Britain thought it would be fun to have the head of the British Flat Earth Society come over and look at the photographs of this round Earth. The head of the British Round Earth Society showed up, looked at the pictures, was very grateful, and he said, "It is amazing how, to the untrained eye, the Earth looks round." Well, that is the way most of the people who believe in political correctness look at the world. The rest of us see the real world. They have learned not to see the round Earth. They have trained eyes, and they see exactly what they want to see. Hence the name of this program, The Untrained Eye. I'm going to do the program today on what I call sob sister history. I don't know if you young people know what a sob sister meant in my day. It meant the little old maid who was always talking about her neighbors and talking about how terrible they were and how awful they were to her and spreading rumors about them and crying. And that's the way our history, of course, is written. We have a world in which the white Gentiles pick on all of these wonderful little minority groups. And every one of these minority groups is so sweet and so kind. And this sob sister history has some very practical effects. Some time ago, well, actually right after September 11th, the Department of Transportation declared that the United States was going to search grandmothers and black grandmothers whose families had been here for 300 years, white grandmothers whose family had been here 300 years, strip search them, and they were going to pay every bit as much attention to these people as they were to people with Arab names from suspect nations. Black, quote, leaders, unquote, were very embarrassed to find that black people overwhelmingly rejected this nonsense. They didn't like to have their grandmothers searched, strip searched. Now, black people normally react immediately to the word racial profiling, but as one black comedian said, there is such a thing as racial profiling, and now there's also such a thing as good sense. Black people, in fact, objected more overwhelmingly to this policy of strip searching their grandmothers than did whites, because the whites had been thoroughly brainwashed and they were afraid to object. The reason that your grandmother got searched, got strip searched at the airport, is a direct result of sob sister history. The reason that all grandmothers had to be searched as much as Arabs from suspect countries was because the Secretary of Transportation has a childhood trauma. He's Japanese American, and his family was interned during World War II. So he will not stand for any sort profiling, no matter how rational it would be. Now, I think that a person who has a childhood trauma deserves our sympathy, even if it is a trauma 60 years old. He deserves our sympathy. He deserves the best psychiatric care we can give him. But I don't think he deserves to be Secretary of Transportation and to make his childhood trauma into national policy. I think that a good psychiatrist could do Mineta a great deal more good than strip searching every grandmother in the United States and Canada. But this sort of thing, which is really pathological, this sort of thinking, is accepted because we have this sob sister history. The Japanese were profiled 60 years ago, and therefore everybody's shoes have to come off. Everybody has to be searched. Well, we all know, rather unfunny comedy, this result of sob sister history
has brought us to. There is absolutely nothing abstract or theoretical about Saab's sister history. If you think there is, listen the next time any leader of a minority group shows up talking about how evil the white man was to his people. He always comes in not only with Saab's sister history, but with a bill white Gentiles have to pay for it. The reparations for slavery, for example. Black leaders will say, you owe us money because our people were enslaved by whites. In real history, there is not one single example of a white Christian ever making a slave out of a black man. We bought them. Now, Arabs did go and grab black slaves, but it was simply not a practical matter because there were plenty of slaves in Africa. The blacks sold the black slaves they had to New England traders, not to Southerners. The New England, or in many cases English, traders took those slaves to the South, largely. Actually, only about 5% of the total slave came over to America at all. The majority of those were sent to the South, and none of them were enslaved by white people. All of them were enslaved by black people. But whites are supposed to pay the bill, and we pay it all the time, because we have a Saab sister history that says only white people can sin, only white Gentiles can sin, and so white Gentiles have to pay the bill. So there's nothing abstract about any of this. We have Saab sister history, and Saab sister history always comes with a bill attached. During the calendar year 2005, more white people will be killed by black criminals than the combined total of all the lynchings of blacks by whites in American history. But black leaders will still be presenting the bill. I put that leaders in quote, by the way. Black leaders are still going to be talking about those lynchings. We're going to hear lots about those lynchings. But the white man's problem, the real one today, of being murdered in the streets, is going to receive no attention at all. Saab's sister history gets all the attention. I remember that during the 2000 campaign, candidate for vice president, now Vice President Cheney, was reduced almost to tears by a black guy who was complaining about the fact that black people get stopped more than white people by the police. Well, every respectable conservative, like Cheney, is supposed to be reduced to tears by this, the Saab story. The reason that black people get stopped by the police more than white people is because of black criminals, not because of somebody like Cheney, who is from out west, Montana. He probably never met a black person before he was 20. But he was required to be reduced to tears, and he certainly wasn't going to point out that white people have a problem right now with being murdered in the streets. Nobody is going to condemn black criminals for the fact that black people tend to get stopped more. The police have to deal in probabilities. If you're walking down the street with blood on your shirt, the police are going to want to know why you have that blood on your shirt. Well, even the detergent advertisements talk about removing blood stains, so obviously having blood on your shirt of some kind is not a crime. But the police have to deal in probabilities. They have to stop people on the basis of the probability that that person might have committed a crime. This is not fair. This is the way the world works. Black profiling exists, And it exists because a lot of blacks do, in fact, commit crimes. I believe it's, someone was doing statistics that something like half of the population, of the young population among blacks, was in trouble with the legal system. So, a disproportionate number of people stopped by the police are going to be black. But Sob-Sister History says that any time a black person is treated unfairly, it is always the fault of the white person doing it. This is stupid. This is dangerous. This has nothing to do with the real world. And it is very costly. The NAACP had a huge campaign to keep the Border Patrol from stopping people at the Mexican border who had Spanish accents, Mexican accents, and who were dark. Just like Mineta, they actually went to court to demand that the Border Patrol pretend that a blonde-headed Swede or Swedish-American whose family had been in America for a couple hundred years was just as likely to be an illegal immigrant as someone who didn't speak English, who only spoke Spanish, and who had a very dark complexion. This, as with Mineta, is insanity. It is also a direct result of Sob-Sister History. The idea that only minorities can be discriminated against, there's never any reason for anyone to say, you have a dark skin and therefore. By the way, this does not apply to the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party, every election says, we have to get out the minority vote. We've got to get out those black people and those brown people. They spend a lot of money on it. Now, they don't spend all that money on getting out the minority vote because a dark skin means that you're going to have a 50-50 chance of voting Republican or Democrat. They assume, and we all know, that a black skin means a Democratic vote. That's what they're saying when they say we're going to win the election by getting out the minority vote. But oddly enough, nobody calls that profiling. Now, if a white person says to a black person, oh, I thought you were a Democrat, the black person has a right to go to pieces because he's being profiled. Why on earth? Just because I'm black, you're saying that I'm more likely to be a Democrat. But the Democrats have every right not only to say that, but to bet money on it. That's super profiling, but that's different. In the case of Hispanics, the liberal commentators said over and over that the Republican Party threw away California when it backed the proposition that American citizens should not have to pay welfare and tuition and so forth for illegal aliens. The reason that the liberals said that this was throwing away California was because they assumed that the Latino voters in California holding American citizenship would be far more interested in their fellow Hispanics than they would the financial interests of their fellow Americans. That's profiling with a vengeance, gang. Turns out they were right. The Latino voters have turned against the Republicans in California precisely because they identify themselves as Latinos, not as Americans. But when the Democrats say that, and they say it as a matter of course, that's okay, no problem. Edward Kennedy can say that all he wants to. But once again, what they said was that the Latino voters in California were going to be more interested in their fellow Latinos coming across the border than they were in their status as citizens of the United States. A liberal always says that a dark skin means a Democratic vote, a liberal vote. They're always saying that Latinos are more American Latinos are more interested in their fellow Latinos than they are in other American citizens. But that's okay if they say it, and they say it all the time. So this sort of profiling passes as the minority leadership is okay as long as it's done by the political left. If somebody who is not of the political left makes exactly the same statement, it's bigotry, hate, and so forth. So let me repeat one more time that sob-sister history is not anything theoretical or abstract. It cripples our terrorism efforts by making us spend all our time strip-searching grandmamas. It cripples our efforts against crime while the police are constantly trying to balance out their searches and so forth and ignore the evidence of their senses and do no profiling at all. And after all, what we call profiling is basically a clue. It's exactly what the police have to operate on. And sob-sister history also cripples our protection of our borders. It has a lot of other effects. Our whole worldview is based on sob-sister history. You young people may not have heard that word, sob-sister. I do want to point out that a sob-sister was not considered harmless. A sob-sister is someone who feels the whole world is out to get her, and she is always saying nasty things about her neighbors, spreading rumors, and that sort of thing, very much like the sob-sister history has an effect on us today. I have repeated several times this is not abstract, because this is the only place you're going to hear it, which, by the way, is why liberal talk radio is always a failure. The fact is that everything that a liberal talk show host has to say has been taught in classrooms all over America, day after day after day. The little school teachers hear it from their professors, and then they repeat it day after day after day. Sob-sister history and every other liberal thing. This means that by the time you reach college, much less after you finish college, you've been bored cross-eyed with this stuff being repeated to you and repeated to you and repeated to you. And you're not about to listen to a radio station that is going to repeat what your teachers through 4 years of college have already told you. So liberal talk show hosts don't get a hearing because people are bored with that stuff. They've heard it 1,000 times. Of course, the favorite subject of sob-sister history is the Holocaust, showing that not only Germans, but also all white Gentiles are dangerous, and if they mention anything about saving their own race, they're all Nazis. This is the long and short of it. What is interesting is that the National Socialist German, the Hitlerite version of history, and the sob-sister version of history that we are taught are exactly the same. Now, you're sure not going to hear that anyplace else. But let's take a look at them. If you summarize the National Socialist history and substitute white Gentile for the word Jew in all the pages or in your summary, you will find that you have exactly the same philosophy. So, in America, the accepted doctrine is that anything good was done by mankind. Remember, a short step for man, but a long step for mankind. Well, actually, mankind did not put the rocket on the moon. White people did. But, of course, you can't credit white people anything. White people are only to be blamed. White people are responsible for slavery. White people are responsible for brutality of the Indians. White people this, white people that, but it's always evil. Anything white people have or have done, according to sob-sister history, is 100% something they either stole or they got from mankind. Well, the Nazis said the same thing about the Jews. A lot of Jews owned big stores. A lot of Jews had invented things. A lot of Jews had done different things. But there was something inherently evil about them and about what they did. And so, according to National Socialist history, the Jews did not do anything good. And according to our own history, the white Gentiles never did anything good. If the Jews had something, it had been taken from other people. Today, if white people have something, it was taken away from other people. If the Jews apparently invented something, it was actually a copy in National Socialist history. White people seem to have invented a lot of things, but if you go back, you'll find out they actually got it from other people. It's mankind's product. Jews, according to the National Socialists, their only inventions were evil. Plots, communism, and so forth. Well, gosh darn it, look at our accepted stepsister history. The only thing that white people ever did special were evil things. These are exactly the same histories. So it isn't too surprising that the stepsister history people keep talking about the Nazis, because the two histories that they present are exactly the same. Hitler had several solutions to the Jewish problem. And I will say the stepsister history types have only one, and that's straight genocide. Once again, they talk about solving the race problem. Now, everybody, from Sean Hannity to the socialists, everybody has to agree that we have this race problem that can only be solved, the final solution to the race problem, by massive immigration into white countries. Massive immigration, third world immigration, only into white countries, into all white countries, to solve the, quote, race, unquote, problem. This race problem does not exist anywhere but in white countries. We don't talk about a race problem that needs solving in Africa or a race problem that needs solving in Asia. No. The final solution to the race, which means the white problem, is simply assimilating whites out of existence. They call it assimilation. It's genocide. And so it is not amazing, to me at least, how stepsister history, as it is taught presently about white Gentiles, ends up being a statement that white Gentiles are the root of all evil and there must be a final solution to them. Well, this is why the stepsister is never harmless. It's always a consequence to this business of being a stepsister. The reason that this kind of thinking is so dangerous and so destructive is because it's insane. There is no such thing as a devil in history. You see two countries blasting away at each other, you're going to see that you can explain this through their history. It's not that one country is made up of perfectly good people and the other country is made up of perfectly bad people. That's what a three-year-old may think. That's what a liberal may think. That's what a respectable conservative may think. But as I said in my book, Why Johnny Can't Think, America's Professor Priesthood, I explain that liberals have the mentality of six-year-olds, and respectable conservatives cannot have a mentality above 10 years old. And when you get beyond those ages, you realize that people are people. And there's no such thing as one group that's all evil and one group that's all good. Well, everybody will accept that. Everybody will say that's just fine, that's true, and that's wise, except when it comes to white people. Then the stepsister comes into it, and we have one villain, the white Gentile. But the fact is, in the real world, when someone is persecuted, you have to look at both sides of it and not just say this group, some other group out of nowhere suddenly became evil and decided to destroy them. Everybody agrees, for example, that all Germans have to pay for the reparations to the Jews for what Nazism did, and to other people for what Nazism did. This doesn't mean that all Germans supported the Nazis. It is also generally agreed that an American who talks about race is dangerous because the Germans went Nazi. and therefore all white Gentiles, who talk about race, are suspect because they're going to end up being Nazis who want to kill 6 million Jews. Well, the fact is that a higher percentage of Jews supported the communists than the total population of white Gentiles who support the Nazis. But nobody is going to say that the Jews bear the slightest, all Jews bear the slightest responsibility for communism. And communism did a lot more killing. It was far, far more destructive than the Nazis were in their short period of existence. And I'm talking about in peacetime. The Holocaust, the actual killing, the concentration camps and so forth, with all the debate on them, nobody says they got started before wartime. That was when the United States started interning the Japanese. The communists don't let peace or war interfere with it. Stalin was killing people by the tens of millions in peacetime. Pol Pot was at peace when he killed about a third of his own population. Mao Tse-tung was at peace when he launched his various purges and killed millions and tens of millions of Chinese. But, once again, none of this is blamed on all Jews. Yet, I am blamed for the Holocaust. That is to say, anything I say means that I may be a Nazi because I'm a white Gentile. Once again, what we've got here is a villain, me, and a good guy, the Jew, and the liberals and all the rest of them, to be fair. And the simple fact of the matter is, the world doesn't work that way. When you build your world on something as fantastic as the idea of sub-sister history, some people are out to get other people, and that's all there is to it, then you're going to end up with disastrous results. That's psychotic, and you can't go psychotic and run a sane society. I'm very hard on Jews as a group. Now, the explanation for this in the present sub-sister mindset is, that's because I'm an evil man. Well, I don't think I have any more evil in me than the average human being does, which is pretty considerable. But I am hard on Jews as a group, because Jews as a group, all my life, have been terribly hard on the group I belong to. The three major parts of the Jewish community in America, Orthodox, Reformed, and Conservative, each of their conferences has adopted a statement of principle for decades that says, if you take all the flowery wording off of it, there are too damn many white Gentiles in this country. That's a danger to Jews, and therefore we need to bring in a lot of other groups to water them down. And that is the plain English explanation of what they're saying. I don't really appreciate that. No one's allowed to say it, but when someone comes into my country and says, my group, there are too many of people like me, and so we have to import vast numbers of other groups, I don't take that very well. And Jews, I've noticed, when it comes to Israel, when people say, well, you need to bring all those Palestinians back, they don't seem to take that very well either. But in my case, it's pure unadulterated hatred, viciousness, and the devil that's in every white Gentile. Whereas in the case of the Jews, it's just reason, kindness, and innocence. Henry Kissinger is a Jew. In fact, Henry Kissinger was born in Austria, still has his German accent. He was driven out of Austria. A lot of his family disappeared over there. He's not a great friend of anti-Semitism, but he also knows a lot about human nature. And he made one simple statement that makes a lot of sense in talking about Jewish history. He said, any people that has been persecuted for 2,000 years is doing something wrong. Henry Kissinger, being a Jew, can just barely get away with that. And that's essentially what I'm saying. If Jews as a group are hard on us, we are going to be hard on them. That's how human beings work. This is not angels and the devil. This is simply a bunch of human beings dealing with each other. I have never heard any Jew say, I am Jewish and unless that "I am Jewish and" was followed by some kind of insult, either to white people, to white Gentiles, or to the South. And I'm a Southerner. When they say "I am Jewish and" in a conversation, it is always an introduction which gives them the right to say something nasty about me and mine. Being human, I really don't appreciate that. And this sort of thing down through history doesn't make a people popular. After all, the existence of the Jews is based on separatism, and to a large extent it's based on sub-sister history. I've always said that Christianity at its worst becomes self-hatred. You become obsessed with sin and guilt and you begin to hate yourself. Judaism, at its worst, just as Christianity tends to degenerate into self-hate if you don't watch it, Judaism degenerates into self-pity, pure self-pity. You get the idea that the Jews are the only people in the world who ever suffered. I mentioned before that Alan Combs wrote to me that he was upset about Mel Gibson mentioning all those 5 million, the numbers are debated, but 5 million to 20 million Ukrainians who were starved to death by Stalin. Mel Gibson said the Jews were not the only slaughter in history. And the entire Jewish community raised bloody murder, including Alan Combs. And Alan Combs wrote me, he said, "I am tired of people trivializing the Holocaust." And my question to him, to which I never got an answer to that or anything else, I asked him, "What is trivial about the death of Ukrainians?" "Well, they're not Jews, and he's a Jew." Well, sure, that's human nature, all right. But we have turned that statement that anybody who says their people were slaughtered or trivializing the Holocaust, we seem to have turned that natural preference that Jews have for their own kind into some sort of religion, that it's absolutely true. It's not true. I think a Ukrainian's family, if he died, I think that they have the same kind of feelings Jews do. But our history is not based that way. Our history is based on the idea that the white problem, or what they call the race problem, we have to find a final solution to it, that white people are evil, and all these things that white people seem to have done that was good were actually done by mankind. As I say, this is the National Socialist version of history. It's just that the white Gentiles are now the Jews. As I said at the beginning of the program, a lot of young people may not know what the word sob sister means. And if you ask an older person, you might get kind of a smile from them, because what they remember about sob sisters is that a sob sister was a very sympathetic sounding character, always crying and moaning about someone's being mistreated, usually themselves. But I'm cursed with a memory. And I remember, a much more accurate memory, I remember the sob sister as someone who would say, "Oh, my family treats me like dirt," and sobbing and groaning, which of course is fine for her. But what about the family? Do you think the family likes being told to treat her like dirt? Or she'll be saying, "Poor little Jimmy gets treated like dirt by his family." Once again, do you think that family appreciates when they're in a rough situation, obviously, dealing with little Jimmy? Do you think they really appreciate being said that they treat him like dirt, that they're horrible people? So when people sort of smile about the sob sister, they forget the other side of this coin, that the people she's condemning are also human. People think that Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly are wonderful people because they're condemning their own race, and they're saying that Whitey has to go. O'Reilly says the white race has to go because the founding fathers called America the United States of America, and Hannity says Jesus Christ died on the cross to help get rid of the white race, which is fine if white people are not deserved the same sort of courtesy and loyalty. Normally, when one denounces his own people, it is not considered he's making some kind of wonderful sacrifice. It's considered he's being a traitor. He's attacking his own people. And that's what Hannity and that's what O'Reilly are doing. So that side of the sob sister the attack side, the fact that she was just the person that spread the most vicious rumors about people she had decided were treating little Jimmy like dirt. That side of it's been forgotten. But this Hobbs sister was and is about the most vicious thing around. Hobbs sister history is vicious. It is illogical, it is irrational, and it leads directly to pure, unadulterated hatred. It makes white Gentiles the object of pure hatred. They're not humans who act or react in normal ways or want to survive like any other human group. They become villains. Even if they want to survive, they become villains. There's nothing charming about a sob sister. And there's nothing charming about sob sister history.